Chronicles,
chapter 19. You can also go to Galatians chapter 5. That's where we'll start reading the Bible. By God's grace, America has been is built on a great foundation. America is. A lot of people don't believe that, but our foundation was built on the things of God, the Word of God. It's too bad that there's a lot of people, particularly one that I've got on my heart that hasn't had a good foundation in her home. I got a call yesterday that absolutely broke my heart. And if grandfather was wanting me to speak to his granddaughter, who was in a terrible condition, 17 years old, weeping. I didn't know what was coming off. He said, "I don't know what to do. I need you to talk to my granddaughter." And I did for several minutes, weeping and just 17-year-old. You say, "Well, that's a girl." That's right. It's a girl, young lady. And girls cry. I found that out. I got four girls and a wife. And I got some granddaughters coming along. Men cry too, but they don't let nobody know about it. I talked to her. And I didn't really know what was going on. I didn't know until after we finished talking. Her granddaddy came and he told me everything that was going wrong. She got into some things that she shouldn't get into, 17, running with the wrong crowd. And he found out about it. And he took it to her car and said, "You can't drive your car now." She said, "Well, I don't want it anyway." So he sold it. And I don't think, really that continued to give her agony. But anyway, she said she didn't want it. She sold it. He sold it. But 10 years ago, when she was 7 years old, her mother came from New York City and dumped her out at his house and just went back to New York and left her there. Then her daddy's in prison. I feel for a child that's trying to go through life as good as the grandparents could be to her, trying to keep her in church, trying to get her in church. She's missed something that will forever damage her. And I told her my story, the way what happened to our lives, and you already know that. Mama left us for about 10 years when we needed her the most. And I told her my story and tried to comfort her. Pray for that girl. Pray for that girl. The foundation of God standeth sure. There's no earthquakes on God's foundation. There's no tremors. It's solid ground, just like the song that we just sung. Solid ground. It's a good place to raise your family on the rock, in the church, and in the name of Jesus Christ. Do the best you can. And don't deal with the devil. I wrote down devil deals. I wonder if you ever considered that you might have ever made a deal with the devil. Well, you may not just come right out and say, "Oh, I made a deal with him." But I'm going to tell you what, in a roundabout way, we make deals with other people as we make deals with the devil, because he's never in the forefront. We make deals with compromise. There's no room for compromise. There's no room. You say, "Well, we can't get to where we're going unless we compromise to where they can get to where they want to go." No compromise. I don't know what you thought about George W. Bush, but I remember he talked about the axis of evil, and he said, we will not negotiate with the terrorist and with evil. I pray for Benjamin Netanyahu every day that he'll stay strong. What hurts the most is not necessarily the attack by Hamas, but the attack by his own very own people that are blaming him. And on our college campuses, as kids go back to school right now, they're beginning to do their rallies or whatever you call it, their protest against anybody that would support Israel. If I had my kid in a college, I'd get him out right now. So anyway, devil deals. In Galatians chapter 5, there's two words that I want to bring to your attention as we begin these thoughts on these messages. Two words, and one of the words is in Galatians 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 7. Ye did run well. Running. I mean, everything, the machines work. I mean, you're cruising on down the road there, Brother John. Running well. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Something happened to the church at Galatia, and I won't get into the specifics, that caused them to be disrupted and to not obey the truth. This persuasion, you know what a persuasion is? It's a value system, and it's a conviction. That's what a persuasion is. So we're of the Baptist persuasion. We have convictions about godliness. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. In other words, Paul said, you cannot blame your condition on God. It didn't come from him that called you. You're in the shape you're in because you apparently did some bad deals. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. Don't be sidetracked. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And we know that they were coming in trying to get them to be justified by the law. We already know that. And teaching them they needed to be circumcised before they could get right with God. The legalist came in. And I know all of that. But there's a word that I want you to call your attention to in this verses here. And the word is hinder. Who did hinder you? Who did hinder you? Who did hinder you? Jesus didn't make a deal with the devil. When he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And the idea is that we'll never escape temptation. But my friends, we will fall and get back up and fall and get back up. And we don't practice sin, but we will fall. But Jesus did not fall. And he was tempted three ways that has to do the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2. He was tempted for provision by the devil. Hunger. He was tempted to cut a deal with the devil to fulfill the needs of his flesh. You understand that the United States we're living in now, there's a lot of people's cut a deal with the devil to have their physical needs met, provisions, food. It never was meant that government should provide your food for you. Not only that, but he came to tempt Jesus. Not only that, but he came to tempt Jesus with power. With power, he took him on the mountain and he said, look, and he saw all the kingdoms of the earth, and he said, if you'll just bow down to me, you can You can have these kingdoms. And I want you to understand that the devil had that power because he's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. My friends, he's in every government around the world. He has his people there. And the devil could have given Jesus the kingdoms of the world. Jesus didn't fall. Kingdom power and popularity. There's not a human being, if he would really not appear to be so humble, that would not like to be popular. But he said, if you'll get up on the pinnacle of this temple and jump off, you can command the angels and they'll catch you before you fall. And everybody go, yay! Superman! He didn't fall for that either. And he used the word of God on every temptation to defeat the devil. Jesus used the word of God. Jesus used the word of God to withstand the devil. And who are we to think that we can stand against Satan without the word of God? Jesus stood the test and didn't. He did not cut a deal with the devil. Peter came behind him. Not so, Lord. Don't say that you're going to die. And Jesus turned and looked at him. And he said, get behind me, Satan. You see, the devil was working through one of his closest men to sidetrack him from doing what God had called him to do and sent him to do. You don't need to die. So Jesus knew what it was meant for somebody to try to hinder him. Not only the devil outright, but those that were closest to him. It says, you did run well. Who did hinder you? There's another word that I want to call your attention in 2 Chronicles. In chapter 20, we're going to study a little bit about Jehoshaphat. What a name. How did they abbreviate that? Maybe G-ha? G-E-A-G-ha. He'd have grown up thinking he's a mule. Some of y'all don't even know what we're talking about. Terry does, Jerry does, father-in-law does, Chick does. You know what Jihah means? Whoa, you know what whoa means? Jihah means to go to the right or the left, and ha means to go the other way, and I can keep them straight. So you tell that mule, instead of jerking his mouth with a bit and getting him going away, the mule eventually means that every time you say G, you turn one way and you don't get your lip pulled off. Or you turn ha, you turn the other way. Jehoshaphat, he was king of Judah in Jerusalem. There were 12 tribes. They split. Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Jeroboam was a servant of Solomon. And he tried to take the people. And Solomon overpowered him and he ran to Egypt. And he stayed there till Solomon died. And when he came back, you see, Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. And it was rightfully his kingdom. But the older men told King Solomon's son, Rehoboam, they said, if you'll be like your father and treat us right, the nation, the people will follow you. But then he went and got some advice from his buddies. And his buddies said, you need to be tough on the people. So he took the young people's advice. And he went back and he told the leaders, he said, my little finger's going to be tougher than my daddy's thigh, my loins. So they turned against him. And the kingdom split. And Jeroboam took 10 tribes and went down to Samaria. Jeroboam came in and he took those. The kingdom was split. And now Jehoshaphat was the king in Judah. And in our text, in the readings we're doing, Ahab is the kingdom of Samaria, which is the ten tribes that split off. Ahab, you know who his wife was? Jezebel. How would you like a wife by the name Jezebel? My girls, and I think Andrea, nicknamed Abigail Jezebel. That ain't, you know. They don't, ain't it, Abby, they come to you. Yeah, you know. I remember me and Kathy took the kids up into, I'm chasing a rabbit, but I know where I'm going. I'll catch it. I'm going to run it in the hole. We went up Tennessee, and I didn't tell her where we was going, and the kids were young, and we had that old white Toyota van, and we were going up to Tennessee. Kathy said, well, where are we going? I said, I'll tell you when we get there. I was carrying her to see the Amish. So we got up there, whatever the name of that town was, and she saw a horse and buggy go by. Black one. Everything about it was, the color was black. They wore black clothes, black hats. She said, hey, you see that? She said, you know, that's one of them, and one of them Amish people. I said, no, that's hippies. So we got up there, make a long story short, we went up to Amish country, and there was a one-room schoolhouse there, and we pulled up, and Kathy wanted to talk to the teacher about homeschooling and about schooling and all, her methods. And Kathy had something like she's got on right now, big flaherty-looking colored thing. Here's this van pulled up, looks like a hippie van. Here's this gal gets out with a... whatever you I don't know what you call it. I'm not going to say that word. I'm thinking, but it's a big flaherty dress. The kids are out there in the school yard playing. The teacher comes to the door. They all run in. She slams the door and will not let Kathy in. Why? There comes a Jezebel. That's all we could figure out. Hadn't got on the right colored dress. How would you like to be married to Jezebel? How would you like to be married to a Jezebel? Just name something else. God help Ahab. He is a wicked man. He was a wicked, wicked man with a wicked wife named Jezebel who had 400 false prophets sitting at her table. I mean, she had the religious society. She had all the religious leaders sitting at her. 400. 400 prophets of Baal. Can you imagine that one? I don't know if you've read the Bible or not, but you need to read about Jezebel and you need to watch out for Jezebels. And you don't need to marry a Jezebel. And a girl, you don't need to marry a Ahab because he is a big baby. You remember he wanted to fill the pea patch that guy had and he come in because he wouldn't sell it to him. And he was pouting. And he went in and laid in the bed just boo-hooing. And Jezebel said, what's wrong with you? What's that guy's name? It don't matter anyway. Let's call him Jim. All right, he had a field that Ahab wanted to buy. And he wouldn't sell it to him. He said, this is my inheritance. And let me just take a little ride on this one. Don't you sell out your inheritance. Not only your physical inheritance, but your spiritual inheritance. And to this man that had the field, whatever his name was, that was not only a physical possession, but it represented what his daddy and granddaddy had left him. It was a spiritual and a physical inheritance, and he wasn't about to sell out. And I want you to understand, friends, I beg you, young people, don't sell out what your parents and grandparents have stood for years and years and years in the name of Christianity. Don't do it. You say it's not popular anymore. Don't sell out your... When Roger Butler's dead and gone, these old guys, don't sell this property out. Don't give it to the heathen religious world. Don't let it come in. There's a man named Jim Ball. I think it's B-A-U-G-H, Ball. And let me just give you this. You know, he is called a reverend. He's a reverend. And he has this movement that is called Evangelicals for Kamala Harris. And his idea is, you can check it out, his idea is that her policy is more advantageous for the disapproved people, the people in need. It's more designed to help people that are less fortunate than what Donald Trump would do. He's an idiot. He's a blooming idiot, and he's not God's preacher. And the word I've got is now that he says that therefore they're more pro-help to the vulnerable than the Republicans. And if that is the case, why is the greatest, the most, the number one issue other than the border in this election is the abortion issue? And who are the less vulnerable, the more vulnerable than anything, than a little baby in a mama's womb that can't talk and say nothing for itself and is a human being at conception with a DNA, a baby? How can he say that they're more pro for the vulnerable? He's an idiot. He's sold out. I'll say it to his face. So Jehoshaphat deals with Ahab. Now Jehoshaphat started out right, but he got hindered. Now the verse I was going to read you before I went rabbit hunting, 2 Chronicles 19. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. It wasn't a real peace. I'm going to preach in chapter 18 later, in the middle of this chapter. I'm not even going to get into that now. And Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer. You like that word, seer? It's not a fortune teller. It's a spiritual man that can see what's happening and see the danger or see the good. He's a seer, and what he is another name for a prophet. He shows up. In this messages and maybe some more messages to come, we're going to talk about three kings and five prophets. And it's just right out of the blue, when Jehoshaphat's thinking things is peaceful in my house, the preacher shows up. There's the preacher. What is he doing here? He says, I want to tell you something. He said, I'm going to say something good about you, but I'm going to say something bad about you first. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee before the Lord. Oh, where did his peace go? What had he done wrong? Well, it says it right there. He said, look, what he's saying is, you should not have. And he's getting him to answer the question. Shouldest thou help the ungodly? What? I know it says, you know, give somebody a piece of bread in the name of Jesus or whatever, and it'll put coals of fire on their head. That was Ray Day's famous, that was his favorite verse. He said, I love that verse. Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Well, there's another verse, David. I believe David knew the Lord. You believe David knew the Lord? You believe he's a good man? Do you, King David? Do you? I mean, he had a few problems, but I mean, look, the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. Let me see if I can find that. David said, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody men, for they speak. And bloody men, you know who bloody men are? And women that abort babies. I don't think you can abort a child without blood being involved. I don't know. I mean, you know, physical without it being a medicated thing. So I don't know. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, what the seer did, Hanani, is he told Jehoshaphat, you've helped the enemy. That's what he said. Why would he want to do that? Why would you want to help the enemy? Craziest thing I believe I've ever heard is they're blaming Benjamin Netanyahu for the thing that happened. Was it in October? They're blaming him for causing that, for causing what's happening. He started out right. Jehoshaphat started out good. Let me just read you about this. Chapter 17, and Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. Wait a minute, against Israel. Now, we've already said, and we're going to interject this, that some of the greatest problems you'll ever face in trying to serve God is going to come through your family. They're cousins. They're cousins all the way down the line, some way or another. Jehoshaphat and Ahab's cousins, they had the same Abraham as their father. They weren't brothers, but they were kin, and they were far removed, probably cousins. I believe I could probably prove that if you'd give me about 100 years to do it. Did you see what it says? You see what he's saying there? He's strengthening himself against Israel. Israel's those 10 southern kingdoms called Samaria that Alexander the Great integrated with his soldiers and killed men, and they married the women, and now they were cross-cultured. And that's why the disciples would go around Samaria before they'd get to Jerusalem, because they had no dealings with the Samaritans. And the way it started, when Jeroboam took the 10 tribes, he made 2 golden calves and started the people worshiping idols. And now Jehoshaphat is taking a stand against Israel because he knows they're not doing right. They're not worshiping God. They're trouble. I guess the hardest thing you'll ever do is take a stand against your family that ain't doing right. I'll get you back to one word in a minute. He's successful, and he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, set garrisons in the land of Judah. Fences, that's another word for wall. Forces is military. Set garrisons in the land and in the cities of Ephraim. Asa, his father, had taken. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. He was doing right. Okay, chapter 18, something changes. Something changes to misdirect Jehoshaphat from the way he started out. Who did hinder you? You did run well. Who did hinder you from obeying the truth? And in chapter 18, verse 1, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance and joined, here's our next word, hinder in Galatians, affinity in chapter 18, verse 1 of 2 Chronicles, and joined affinity with Ahab. I guess y'all all knew what affinity meant, but you got one guy that didn't until I started studying this. I don't ever use that word. I don't reckon I ever has, but it's in the Bible, and the word affinity means marriages. You realize, I don't know which one it was. I'd have to trace it out, and I believe I could find it. If you find it for me, let me know. But somewhere, sometime, Ahab had a child, and I'm getting on over to a grandson, because it happened to the same thing with Jehoshaphat's grandson, not just with his son or his daughter, but either his daughter or his son married either Ahab's daughter or son. Which meant, if Jehoshaphat married the daughter, that meant that Jezebel was his mother-in-law. Whew! I'm going to tell you what, boys. You better get a good look at mama before you marry her girl. All right. What in the world? Can you imagine? Jezebel was, she was a mean, wicked woman. Painted her face. They threw off the balcony there out the window, and her eunuchs did, and the dogs ate her up except for the palms of her hands. A wicked woman. By the way, when Ahab was laying in the bed crying because he couldn't buy that field that he wanted, Jehoshaphat said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "I won't. So-and-so won't sell me that piece of property." And she said, "Don't you worry, I'll take care of everything." Don't you love to have a wife like that? "I'll take care of everything, honey. You don't have to cry." If you see a hen-pecked husband, you just need to kick him where it hurts. Kick him. So she, you know what she done? She had him killed. And Ahab got the property. But he married Jehoshaphat, boy or girl, married Ahab, Jezebel's kid. You know what that cost? Because there's a time when Jehoshaphat was standing against Israel. Because they were serving other gods. They were doing wrong. They had turned against God. But when that marriage took place, some problems came about. He had joined affinity with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance. And for other people he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. All right, they had a big celebration. Killed a bunch. They had a big barbecue right there is what they had. And then, so Ahab says, "By the way, I'm about to go to war with Ramoth Gilead, and I need your help." What? Are you saying Jehoshaphat started out well because of a marriage of one person that was not worshiping God, another person that stood for God, apparently? Now he's going to war. He's in a war. America split right down the middle, friends. How can two walk together except they agree? We're split right down the middle. We're split by people that love and honor God, that want to serve God, and want God to be our God, And we got this other group that don't care nothing about Jesus Christ or God or the Bible or Christianity. Now we're going to be becoming a minority. You watch what's happening. Young people are leaving Christian churches. They were raised in churches all their life, and they're leaving as fast as they can get out of it. We're in trouble, friends. America has married the world. Churches have married the world. They're going to grow. Hey, we're going to grow. We're going to grow whatever it takes. We don't need God. I can tell you some stories about some big churches. We're going to grow. We're going to meet this budget this year. We're going to meet this budget with or without God, and they do what they have to do. And it's all about money. And it's not only about money, but it's about having a good time. Let's have a good time. It's preaching time. I remember Brother Allen preached that message. There's five preachers in this study that go against three kings. And you just have to appreciate a man of God that's willing to stand up and say, hey, it's wrong. This is not right. Face the king. He went to war. Terry, he went to war. He went from peace in his house to war in his home and in his family. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You say, there ain't nothing we can do if something like that happens. You can make a decision that you're not going to be involved in it. You're going to stand. Okay. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered, I am as thou art, and my people is thy people, and we will be with thee in war. Not only was there affinity with Ahab's kid and Jehoshaphat's kid, but now it becomes affinity with two nations. It's so easy, it's far much easier for the bad to pull down the good as it is for the good to pull up the bad. I remember I hadn't been saved long, and I was invited to a church down South Gadsden to a youth meeting. My dear friend, we were blood brothers. We cut our thumbs in the ditch right there behind our house, in front of our house on State Street by the Cobra Pipe. We cut our fingers and we mixed our blood. My blood brother. The preacher that was preaching to these young people used an illustration. And he got my friend's girlfriend, who had on a dress that looked like it should have been her baby sister's dress, and told her to stand up in a chair on a little table or a chair. I don't remember which one it was, to stand up there. And he got a big old boy. Dennis was a pretty good-sized boy, my friend. And he said, hold hands. And he said, now, Dennis, try to... He got him in the chair, the boy in the chair, and the girl on the ground, on the floor. And he said, now, try to pull her up with that hand. He couldn't do it. And he said, pull her. She just jerked him right out of the chair. We've been jerked out of the chair. Let me finish up. I'm going to stop in a minute. And Jehoshaphat had enough sense. He said in verse 4, unto the king of Israel, inquire, pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. He said, we need to check on God before we go to war. That's what Jesus said, be careful about going to war. Know that you're going to win before you start. So you know what Ahab did? He called 400 false prophets of Baal to get a word from God. And I'm going to sum it up. They said, go on down, you got the victory. You got it, go. God be with you. Jehoshaphat was a smart man for a while. He said, is there just one more? Done had 400 voting yes. King Ahab said, yeah, there's one more, but I hate him. He said, he never says anything good about me. So here we go. Verse 6, chapter 18. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. You know what? There's going to come a time, I read it recently, that there's going to be a famine in the land for the word of God, and people are going to go and trot around and try to find a preacher to preach to them, and they won't be able to find one. That's in the Bible, in the Old Testament. You can look it up. There's one left. He said, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good to me, but always evil. The same as Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Don't be talking about the preacher like that. And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch him quickly, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes, and they sat in a void place, the entering of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before him. Can't you see all them 400 prophets just say, hey, yeah, it's going to work. We're going to win. And Zedekiah, the son of Chima, had made his horns of iron. And said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push Syria until they are consumed. He got them horns of iron, said, you're going to go through. And they're all sitting there, and the two kings in their robes and their royalty on their thrones, and all the prophets prophesied, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into thy hand. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs. Hey, he said, be good. He said, hey, Micaiah said, hey, you're talking to the wrong man. I'm going to say what God wants me to say. I don't care about them 400 heathen preachers. Don't you love that? Don't you want a man somewhere to stand up against what's going on? Don't you want a leader? Don't you want a president that's going to stand up against evil? One of them is probably not saved, but we pray for them. But we want a leader, whoever it is, that'll stand up and say, I'm not going that route. I don't care. Don't you know that Ahab and Jezebel were paying them 400 well? I mean, they had it made. They feasted every day at Jezebel's table. They said, we got to say good to the king. We may lose our food and we may lose our necks. There's one man that didn't care. My brother was digging a ditch one time, Ronald. Some guy was agging it on about him. He was having to dig this ditch and digging. Some guy kept pumping it off to Ronald. Ronald said, I'm not the man. I'm not the man that you need to be messing with. God, give us a man like that. God, give us a preacher like that and a husband like that and leaders like and mamas that are not going to fall for this junk. It's not popular. You may have to earn your own bread. You're not going to get it in the mailbox. You're not going to be able to be Miss America, Queen America. We're moving on. We're done. Guess who shows up? And Micah said, as the Lord liveth, Micaiah, even what my God saith, that will I speak. Praise the Lord. And when he was come to the king said to him, Micah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead? Now he starts playing with the king a little bit. Or shall I forbear? And he said, go ye up, prosper. They shall be delivered under your hand. He's playing with him. And the king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? That crazy hypocrite, he didn't know what the truth was, but he had enough confidence to stand against the 400 to one man that he knew would tell him the truth. One man. He said, I want to know the truth of God. So he said, okay. And the king the Lord. And then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? Again, he said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Here's the message. I saw the Lord standing upon the throne, all the hosts of heaven standing on the right hand, his left. And the king said, who shall... Now look at this. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and on the left. I can't leave this out, friends. I hope you'll be patient with me. The host of heaven. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel? Hey, the king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, and another saying after this manner. Then there came out a spirit, this is from heaven, and stood before the Lord and said, I'll entice him. And he said, and the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I'll go out by a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt go also prevail, go out and do even so. He said, this is what's happened in heaven, king. This is what I saw happen. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chima, came near. I love this. I love that. I'm not leaving this out. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, came near and smote Micah upon the cheek. Poof! Oh, he messed up right there. I know men up on Sand Mountain. I know people in a church. It was a non-millennial church that would not accept the matter of premillennialism. And they took a man, they took the preacher, the deacons, got him in a room and beat him half to death. And they had guns. What? Over eschatology? Beat the preacher up? Tell you what, they're messing with the wrong man right there. He hit him in the mouth. Micaiah said, behold, now listen, he makes a prophecy against this guy that slapped him. And he said, behold, thou shalt see on the day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And you know what that meant? Here's what I believe, and I can show you some more stuff. But he said, the next time you go to the bathroom, you're in trouble. And he might have really took him serious and waited a long time before he went to the bathroom. But when he got there, it was all over for him. Oh my, can you imagine that? I just laugh. I read all that stuff and I just laugh. And then I say, praise God for these prophets that stood up against the king. And then look what the king did to the preacher. Then the king of Israel said, take him, Micaiah, and carry him back to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction till I return in peace. You know what? He didn't return in peace. He did not return. Now, and Micaiah said, here's the prophet, if thou certainly return in peace, then hath not the Lord spoken to me by me. And he said, hearken, all you people. He said, you need to listen to what I'm saying. Now they go into battle in Ramoth Gilead. Now here is something that I'll never understand. Ahab was a coward. You ever heard of somebody running for political office that was a coward? I've been hearing about that. You understand that they went into battle, Ramoth Gilead, king of Israel, king of Judah, Jehoshaphat and Ahab. So before they go into battle, here's another funny, crazy thing. Ahab said, I'm going to change my clothes. And he just put on a regular army suit. He took his royal robes off. He went in and disguised himself, okay? And he said, Jehoshaphat, you go ahead and wear your robe. I think Jehoshaphat just had a mental lapse or something. He said, I'm going to be a setting target if I'm going to go out there with my robes on and you got common clothes on. And he did. They got out there in the battle And they said, well, there's the king. And they started to kill him. And it turned, and God turned them, and they didn't kill him. They said, that's not the king of Israel. We're looking for him. So Jehoshaphat lived. But guess who died? He was out there in his chariot with his chariot driver. And there was a feller on Israel's side that just took his bow and arrow and just shot into the air in the crowd. It went right through his harness. He said, I'm hit. Take me out of the field. And the Bible says that he stayed in his chariot till the evening, and then he died. I just wonder, did he have time to think about things before he died? Because he didn't die till the evening in his chariot. Take me out, I'm hit. I wonder if he said the prophet was right. All these years, I've been bad to him. I put him in prison. He told me I wasn't coming back. He was telling the truth. I just wonder, was there hope for Ahab? I don't know. Let's stand. I don't know. Is there hope for you? Yes. Is there hope for America? Yes. I don't know how this message might have affected you or touched you, but if you feel the need of prayer, you make your way to this altar. Turn to Him. Don't make affinity with the world, friends. Do not marry the world. Oh, don't do it. Don't let the world be in you. For all is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and whosoever doeth the lust thereof. Whatever your need is, Jesus can meet that need today. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it, whatever. Whatever need you have. You need to be saved. You need to make things right with God. Whatever. Why don't you do that right now? Father, have your way in Jesus' name right now. Use this time.